We did it. Guys, we are here. It is Holy Week, the end of the Lenten season at Coastline Covenant. It was our first one. We really jumped in, did so many things from fasting to Bible reading, a sermon series that mirrored everything happening in Scripture. And then now today we start Holy Week and the booklet changes and everything changes. And I'm excited. We are just turning the corner on the Lenten season. How are we doing? I'm with the boys. I'm with Garrick. I'm with Michael. I'm with Sean. It's the original Coastline 4.
The fired 4. Yeah. Here we are.
Wow.
Woof. Okay, dude, 2 minutes, great. 15 seconds. Okay, so you know
dude,
where,
let's
where
just
to
end
cut
the podcast
it.
Right there. Let's just give them that, and then we're done.
There's no way that stays in. Just by the way.
Come on.
Better be there.
Oh, man. There's nothing more fun for listeners than to hear me have this external dialogue that should certainly stay internal. Like, should I cut this? Should I cut this? Should I cut this? Anyway, we're at the end of the Lenten season. I'm with the boys. I'm not going to call them the Fired Four.
Wow.
How are you guys doing? Have you guys enjoyed this season here at Coastline?
Yeah.
Garrick's in. Garrick's fully in.
I've enjoyed it. And I've enjoyed it because anytime we have so many opportunities for people to jump in and participate and to practice some of the things we're trying to do together, it's just a great season.
Yeah. And we'll talk a lot about practicing, especially as it pertains to Holy Week. I'm interested in this idea of like trying to go along with Christ this week and obviously knowing where it leads. And even Jesus is calling the Gospels to pick up our crosses and follow him. Like, it's very real, very practical. But what does that look like for us? I'm excited to flesh that out. Michael, from your perspective, as someone who wrote a lot of the booklet, but also you were on stage leading worship most weeks for this series, how do you feel like this has gone and how have you felt about the entire Lent season here?
Well, other than me being sick through the entire thing and finally making it out on the end.
Yeah, you fasted from health this Lent season.
40 days of illness, 40 days of coughing.
Dude, that's like not even an exaggeration.
No, it's not.
It actually is true.
You wouldn't know it from you being on stage and stuff. Everything's going really well.
Yeah, it's been solid like Sundays. I've had to like rely on some of my other singers to hold down the fort. But anyway, how have I felt like it's went? Well, here, I think what I want to say is first, like preamble. I remember about 3 years ago, Sean, you and I having a conversation about what would it look like for us to do Holy Week different.
Yeah.
Or just to do Lenten season different. And it was almost like every year we would kind of hit Holy Week or we'd hit Easter. We'd do our debrief and we'd be like, man, we wish we could have done it differently. Like, we wish we could have done it a little bit more elongated, taken a little bit more of a deep dive into Holy Week or into the Lenten season. And I remember last year, Sean, you were just like, put it on the calendar. We're doing it this next year. And here we are. So I just want to say, like, I'm stoked that we're finally here, that we've actually without, you know, unabashedly, we've stepped into the Lenten season and we've done it, I think, a good service. We've done a good job with it. And I think our congregation has just loved it from what I can tell. It's been really healthy for us to just have a goal in mind and we're all just kind of heading towards that goal together. So it's felt very communal. And it's spilling out into our worship on Sundays, which has been really cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a really good reflection. Sean, what about you?
Yeah, I've just enjoyed watching Coastline step into new rhythms and new habits, new disciplines that I think are very much a part of the Christian faith, but we just haven't really lived in them or kind of walked in those streams. So I think there's just, I think Hunter, you and I were talking yesterday, walking out to the car. There's such a joy at Coastline right now. The services are so good. The enthusiasm amongst our people, it's great. The relationships are really strong. And I felt that most in this season of Lent. Like, it's just been really good for our people. So I'm just so happy, you know? Yeah. I'm just really happy, really proud of it. Not in like a look at what we did, but like, man, God is just showing up and I'm just so grateful for that.
Yeah, and it just goes to show that these core values that we have, boldly biblical, holy worshiping, spirit seeking, and fully family, like when we put these things at the forefront of what we do, it bleeds out and everybody benefits. And so like everything that we all just kind of said and reflected upon, like they all came out, all of our core values came out. And it's really fun. I think, Sean, you and I talked, or we all talked as a team, like, how can we do Lent as Coastline? Mm-hmm. And I really like asking that question for our church because we are so unique. Our DNA is so interesting and our story is so different. And we have these core values that they're not like just talking points. Mm-hmm. They're really who we are. Mm-hmm. And it's really fun to be able to see a one-to-one correlation between, okay, we want this event to be fully family. We want this Lent season to be spirit-seeking and holy worshiping. And then it happens. Mm-hmm. And that just is a really, really cool thing. And I think people, like you said, Sean, have really been enjoying it. I've really been enjoying it. I've enjoyed these conversations. This has been the sermon series I think I've focused on the most, because I've had to do these Monday morning quarterback, you know, mm-hmm. episodes, but it's been really fun. And I've loved watching the theme of repent and renew come up time and time again. And it was funny to be in Palm Sunday and feel like that wasn't part of the conversation in the mm-hmm. sermon. It wasn't a lot about repenting and renewing. It was a mm-hmm. great sermon. And I took some notes. I really enjoyed it. But Garrick, for those of us who weren't there, or people who hadn't had the chance to listen or hear your sermon, how about you recap it just a little bit? And let's go back to a conversation we had last week. How did this Palm Sunday feel different than Palm Sundays in previous years?
I had fun with it. I mean, we talked about it every year. You're always looking kind of for a little bit of a different angle through the same narrative. And I had a lot of fun for those that didn't make it or didn't hear it, like, just being intentional about asking everybody who was listening to find places to put themselves in the story. And I think that was kind of the creative piece, or the piece that was very different than last year. I think I don't remember for sure, but I think my teaching last year was a little bit more just didactic. And so it was fun to be able to say, hey, in these different spots, and give them the heads up, like, I'm going to ask you to think about what heart attitude is being expressed and then how you identify with it. Mm. And so I think it was a lot to take in, but my hope was not that everybody interacted with all of them, but everybody found at least one place where they went, oh, that's me. And I know I had some really good conversation with people after the service while we're eating tacos, and everybody that I talked to at least had one place where they could identify with kind of a certain person in the crowd.
Yes.
Right. So that's kind of what it was about. Very, very quickly asking people to think about, hey, which person and heart attitude do you identify with? Do you identify with the people who are like, Jesus, I want you to do this for me, you know, do this for me? Or is it Jesus, I want you to perform for me? Or is it, hey, Jesus, I don't want you to disrupt my life? And then the final piece was, are we willing to follow, right? Are we willing to say, I will follow you into the death of self-interest? So really deep and challenging if you're willing to go there, but a lot of fun to take a narrative that is so well known and ask people to kind of play with it a little bit. The only bummer about it was I couldn't hear when I asked the crowd, like, which Disney character or Avenger I am. I couldn't hear people's responses, and I know there was some really funny responses, but I couldn't hear them.
So I was,
someone yelled Tiana. That was the Disney character. That's all I really remember.
Heavy. I was sitting behind the Lopez family.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they had some good stuff.
Lucy Lopez, when you said, "What Avengers am I? Which Avenger am I?" She said, "Black Widow," and you said, "What?"
Yeah.
And I think you were doing like a general what.
Yeah.
And she responded as if you said, "Hey, Lucy, what did you just say?"
Yeah, yeah.
And she just goes, "Black Widow!" It was the funniest thing in the world.
That's so great.
It was
I love Lucy.
So hysterical.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I would say that you are a lot like Black Widow.
Oh.
Having never seen a movie that takes place in this universe, you're vicious, I guess. Is she vicious?
Yeah.
He got Thor.
Yeah, that was funny.
I know.
That was funny.
I was so excited. I was like, dude, these guys are awesome. And then it was all really based on like, oh, they're all kind of kind. has nothing to do with physique or look or anything like that.
Physique? You have to submit a picture of yourself with the shirt off, and then it'll tell you.
Then it'll really
which
tell you.
Avenger you are.
Wow.
You're
especially, you know, this late into Lent, if you gave up like sugar, it'd be a good time to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd really get the Avenger you want. You know, if this is day one of Lent, you're like, oh, I'm not going to get the Avenger I want. But now at this point, yeah, baby.
Yeah.
It's funny you said you wanted people to interact with different parts of the story and put themselves in it. And mm-hmm. like you're, I don't want everybody to interact with all of them, just maybe one of them. Yeah. That's funny. Cause my notes reflect that I really resonated with one of them.
Yeah. Which one did you resonate with?
So it was Jesus, do what I want you to do. Mm. And I think that really hit home for me. And then a line you said at one point that I want to kind of unpack just for a second. Following the Lord at times will be disruptive. Mm-hmm. And I'm wanting to think about Lent as a whole. And is Lent at its best when it's disruptive?
Mm. Yeah, that's a really good question. Yeah, I'll allow other guys to chime in so I don't like dominate the conversation. But AKA, I mean, my first response is yes.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that's a really good insight, Hunter. I think that's the nature of fasting and saying no to something for a season is meant to disrupt you. It's meant to kind of reorient you to where you are with the Lord and what's happening. So I hadn't really thought about it like that, mm-hmm. but I like what you're saying.
I think it can be really great when it's disruptive. I think it can also be really great when it's not disrupting you enough and you notice, oh man, like I've been fasting from whatever thing and I really haven't been fasting from that thing. And it helps. It's kind of like a mirror to you of like, man, how hard it is to give up things and how hard it is to step in and sacrifice. And so, and then that's an invitation to God's grace, which I think is great. So I actually think all of it is fodder for God. You know, all of it is something God can use, whether it's you've been doing it well or, and it's been disrupting you a ton or whether it hasn't been, mm-hmm. I think there's something there. There's a road to Jesus there either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of the things that Christmas, the advantage of like the Christmas season is you have so much hope and excitement about songs and music and tradition and the gift giving. You are very aware that Christmas is coming all the time. With Easter, when for me, not really having practiced Lent, it can sneak up on you and suddenly it's there. And I think Lent gives you the chance to have that same sort of experience of being aware of it slowly coming towards you so that you can be present and kind of appreciating it. That's something that is, I think, totally new. That's allowing us just to get more out of really being with Christ and really focusing on the cross and on the tomb that have been things that just get lost otherwise. And separates it, I think, sometimes from like the bigness of Christmas.
I think to your point, Sean, Michael said something early on, I think in our very first Lent episode, you said, you hope that the joy we feel at Easter is exactly representative to how deep we went into Lent. And I think that with Christmas, it's like almost the opposite. Like we get so excited for Christmas that it never lives up to the hype. You never get the gift you actually want, or it's like not enough. And you always want more as evidenced by the fact, like we always still want gifts and things like that, or, you know, the songs and whatever. We've talked about this extensively, but like with Easter, I think like the deeper you go into that disruption or even into like the recognizing that this is not disruptive, the more joyful Easter is because you're like, oh my gosh, now I can experience the cross and the resurrection at its fullest because I'm recognizing in myself that like, I've been in a place that hasn't been excited about this, or I've been in a place that has been excited, you know, like kind of what we're talking about. So I really like the idea of Easter as kind of like an Advent type situation, but Advent's not super disruptive, right? Like Advent's not, it's not being like disruptive to be like, what do you want for Christmas?
Yeah, it's the self-imposed pressure to shop and get everything done and that's to disruptive. Squeeze the most that you can out of the holiday. But, That's a different sort of thing, but I think that's what helps us. Like that's why I think the real meaning of Lent for us can be just preparation, getting ready so that Easter is worth present in it. It's not just like, I think you and I did an Easter sermon under the tent, Hunter, where we were comparing the holidays about where does it fall? Like does Easter fall in anybody's top five? And it doesn't, partly because I think if you don't celebrate Lent, then it just comes and goes as quick as St. Patrick's Day. It can be that and it shouldn't.
Yeah. And maybe I've just been reflecting on what you guys have already shared, and maybe Lent, to answer the question, needs to be disruptive, because if we broaden out and go 10,000 feet from where we're talking, the kingdom of God is disruptive.
Yes.
So as the kingdom of God comes in and disrupts the status quo of life, particularly life without God, and then you look into the gospels and Jesus's sayings and doings and all that he does is so disruptive to what they expected or their status quo of their life. Maybe that's part of the reason of getting back kind of in this vein of that's why preparation and a longer Lent season is so valuable to us. Cause it's this, as we began, I think the first week, the annual rhythm of the church calendar, the opportunity to practice this every year is this constant reminder of we tend to grow comfortable in our new patterns and rhythms, which is a great strength. And the fact that maybe every year we need a little bit of disruption to help us move from what is what's comfortable and help us move into that next step of spiritual growth and whatever that looks like in our life.
I'm just struck by the fact, like, this is the first time we're having this conversation, but like, it won't be the last.
Oh, for sure.
Like, we're going to just keep diving into Lent. And I think the lessons we've learned and the takeaways we have from this point are really valuable. And so I'm super excited about all this. Just really quick back to yesterday. What does Hosanna mean?
It means save. Save now.
Save now.
Save now. Unless, do you have, I have that wrong?
No. I don't think you do. I don't think you do. You would know more than I do. I'm just thinking about like the parallel of like save now and then the children coming in with the palm branches. Like what's the connection there?
Yeah. Well, it obviously doesn't come out of John. It comes out of the Synoptic Gospels, where you have, Jesus enters in and then, Jesus gets acclamation and praise. And then there's a part where they say, you know, even the children are giving him praise. And the religious leaders who want the status quo and don't want to be disrupted are basically telling the disciples, like, quiet the kids, right? And I think that's when Jesus responds, even the rocks will cry out. So that's the connection.
So we really lean into the disruption and we do not quiet the kids.
No, we don't.
We ask them to come in and be loud.
Yeah. It could have been louder this year.
Oh, shots fired.
Those rocks could have gotten them.
Take that, Everett, going on stage. He did so good. He was just awesome. That was super, super fun. And again, another great Foley family moment. So that's Palm Sunday. We are headed into Holy Week. Today we are recording this on Monday, which what is Monday of Holy Week?
I would turn to usually... This Our is, friend Michael knows that.
Yeah.
I do know that.
He has it in the booklet.
This is the cleansing of the temple.
Ooh. So this is a kind of a big day, right, Michael?
Not in the Gospel of John, but you know the rest of them. This is where it happens.
Okay.
Yep. Holy Monday.
We're not here to do that. We're not here to do the harmony of all the Gospels. We're here to talk about Holy
Week.
You
just asked about Hosanna.
Yeah.
How is this any different?
Because it's not saying, hey, is Hosanna in one or three or four Gospels? Anyway, Michael, tell us about the cleansing of the temple. If you were to tell somebody, if someone were to say, hey, how can I participate in Holy Week? And you say, just read the booklet, you know, kind of do all the prayer prompts or the exercises in there. And then this first one is cleansing of the temple. Are they walking into St. Andrew's and like flipping over tables? Or like, how do we as Christians in 2023 participate in something like this, like the cleansing of the temple?
That's a good question. I didn't have a pre-thought through answer to that. So this might be rough, but I feel like there's kind of a sense of we started by declaring Christ as King yesterday, or it should be 2 days ago on the podcast.
It's fine,
but you know, on Sunday, and then so we start there, and then the very next thing we do is we make space for God, we make room for God, we cleanse all the clutter, all the stuff in our hearts and in our lives. To make room and space for God, so that we can bring a holy and worthy sacrifice to Him. So as Jesus is you know turning over the money changers and just kind of turning over tables and basically saying, "Hey, this is not supposed to be a place for you to come and sell your things and make money. This is supposed to be a space for God to be seen and God to be interacted with." I think that's the spirit of what's happening on Holy Monday. So yeah, we have a couple exercises here in the booklet that if you want to interact and go deeply into what it would look like to make space for God, I think some of these exercises would be a good place to start.
Yeah, I love that last one. If you're looking at the booklet, take time to actually cry out to Him in thanks and celebration. I think that as you think about Holy Week, the tragedy of what happens on Friday and the joy of what happens on Sunday, the real human emotion that we have can maybe get drowned out or lost. And so to cry out to God and just name that in a space of celebration and thankfulness, I think it's a really good way to start Holy Week devotional. And so, Michael, I want to ask you, as somebody who has, I think, spent a little bit more time doing Lent and things like this with their ministry experience, what does Holy Week mean to you? Like, as a Christian, like I said, in 2023, how do you engage with Holy Week? Are you going every day in the Bible and saying, okay, this is what happened today, I'm going to try to mirror that? Or do you just have like an overall different sense? Or is today just another week for you?
It's definitely not just another week. I think it is like the penultimate moment of preparing for Easter. And I would even just say it's the penultimate moment for preparing for Good Friday.
Yeah.
And then Good Friday for Easter. So, so it's not just another week. I would say I've engaged with it differently throughout the year. So I've done like a progressive fast where, you know, starting on Monday, I'm cutting out media, which I'm doing today. So cutting out media, and then on Tuesday, you know, maybe I'll cut out a meal, and then Wednesday cutting out two meals, you know, that kind of thing. So by the time Friday comes, I'm really feeling the sense of, hey, it's Holy Week. But as I feel like as Easter has gotten bigger and the demands of Easter have gotten bigger, my ability to step into Holy Week with as much fasting as I'd like has also diminished. So we'll see how much fasting I'm going to do this week. I'll probably do some, but I don't know if I'm going to go hardcore into like a 3-day fast or anything like that. So yeah, all that to say, I really think, Sean, you just said this earlier, like Easter has the potential to be the greatest holiday for all of us, for every one of us who call Christ Lord. It really does have the most significance for us spiritually, because it's the day that we, along with Christ, were risen from the grave. I just feel like this week is really important for getting to Easter and doing that well. So, I don't know. This week for me is going to be some light fasting, and then I'm going to give myself to Good Friday and give myself to the silence of Saturday, so that Sunday we're ready to go.
Love it. Sean, as you prep an Easter sermon and you have a lot of things going on this week personally and in your job, how are you going to engage with Holy Week?
Oh, that's a really good question, Hunter. How about this? I know that in Holy Week, what I tend to do is fight myself quite a bit, because there's just an immense amount of pressure. There's nothing quite, I don't know, Garrick, maybe you would agree, but there's nothing quite like the pressure of Easter. Mm-hmm. It's just like the Super Bowl. If you're a preacher,
right,
you really feel it. And I think in years past, I just fought that a lot. I don't really feel like I'm fighting it a lot this year. I think Coastline is just a different kind of energy and a different kind of vibe. So I'm really excited. Honestly, the good news for me, the sermon's done, which is fun, which means that this week I just get to kind of sit back and support the team as best I can and kind of just be with Christ. I'm just trying to, I finished the sermon early so I could really just spend the week kind of with him and not miss it amidst the pressure of what's coming. So those are some of the adjustments I've made this year compared to past years.
That's awesome. And Garrick, for you, as somebody who put so much work into Lent at Coastline, I mean, preached majority of the sermon series, developed the whole thing, kind of led the writing of the booklet. How are you feeling this Holy Week?
Yeah. Good question. I'm feeling relaxed.
So light.
I'm so light. Good. Like handing the baton to Sean for 2 weeks and just get to do other things and be with people, support the team, other facets of ministry that I'm excited about. But I was thinking as my brothers were talking here, I made a point in one of my teachings, and I don't even think it was during Lent. It was on prayer, and we were looking at, I think, one of my favorite passages, Mark 1:35. And I was making a statement that surprised me, that when life sped up, Jesus slowed down. And I was just thinking about, boy, we're all being called into that right now for this Holy Week. Like all of our lives are speeding up, particularly for us that are focused on like a huge Easter service. So the kind of the invitation is, how do we each learn how to slow down a little bit, even in the midst of a schedule that's picking up? And I think that's intentionality. I love that Sean worked ahead so that he could kind of do that. And I think another opportunity we have in front of us is just being mindful and carving out a little bit of space to have our mind and heart slow down and to think about. I think the invitation of the devotional and the way we wrote it is the invitation of Holy Week in Scripture, in that all the Gospels, I told you this before, they slow down for this week. So much of the Gospels actually written, pages are written in this week. Yeah. So much happens. So they really slow down to focus. And I think the invitation for us as a staff and the invitation for our congregation and anybody listening to the podcast is to think about, how do I slow down a little bit over the next week to just really engage my mind and heart with the daily things that are happening. That's the way the devotional's written, which is a great way to do it. And it might be as simple as just to slow down to think about my need for Christ and the importance of his death and resurrection.
That's super good, Garrick. I like that.
I love
that.
That's
really good.
It's so applicable. Some people are having normal weeks.
Yeah.
Some people are like, Easter Sunday and I'll go to church at, I guess, at a park this year.
Yeah, I just changed my location, yeah,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And for some people, and I mean, I'm like thinking like Nikki and some of our volunteers. Like,
yeah.
This is not a normal week. You know, this is a really crazy week, but there yeah. are opportunities. I will say, like, we have space to slow down and to look for those opportunities and take them. I was reflecting on that this morning. You know, I woke up this morning and I sat outside and I was just like, I haven't sat and just been silent and praying and journaling in so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was thinking about it being Holy Week. And I was like, man, I like this rhythm and I get that I'm slowing down. And to hear you say that really ties it all together for me. I really hope people can slow down this week and definitely check out the booklet and definitely engage with what's happening mm-hmm. because we have a lot going on. Coastline is not, we are speeding up for Easter. We are ramping up and it happened yesterday and it continues this week, Good Friday, 7 p.m. at St. Andrews. The only thing I'll say about that is anybody want to preach a sermon?
No, man. You got this.
Anybody, give us a little, man. Anybody
hey, okay,
interested?
Hunter, I'm going to play your role for 1 second.
You could never.
Hunter, please give us a little teaser as to what's going to happen on Good Friday.
Bring your running shoes.
Are we going outside for a run?
We're
going
to be running all over the Bible. Wow. All of it. You're going to be just absolutely running through. Turn on Strava, turn on Nike Run Club. You're going to get some of your fastest miles on Friday because we have a lot to cover. We have a lot to cover.
All right.
I mean, why wouldn't we cover the whole entire Bible on a Good Friday service where generally Good Friday is, you know, one story in the Bible. So why not just go and do the whole thing? So that's what I'm kind of going to do. Yeah. So anyway, 7 p.m. Good Friday.
What are you most excited about?
I was going to say being done.
Yeah, that's real. That's real.
I'm excited to see how it all comes together. I'm excited to continue partnering with Michael and developing. We have, you know, looked at the cue sheet. We're going to do things a little bit differently this year for Good Friday, which I'm excited about. I will see how it all goes, man.
Yeah.
I've been joking around the office and it's a real, real comment of like how much crucifixion actually needs to be in a Good Friday service because I don't know. Oh yeah. And he died. All right, let's pray. And then we're just done. You know, that might be what happens, honestly, realistically. So that's what I'm excited.
If I could speak on your behalf, I'm excited for our congregation to experiencing it because I think it's going to be, as always, the text handled so well at Coastline. But then I think you're just bringing a creative element to it that nobody else would have thought of. And I'm excited to walk into that together. So Same. Make sure you come Friday at 7 because it's going to be really good.
It'll be interesting. We'll see how it all goes. And then Sunday, Easter in the park. Cannot wait. The weather is going to be beautiful. The prayers worked.
Yeah, we've been
Can
praying.
I just say, I was there last year for kind of the ecumenical service
St. Andrews
was running. It is stunning. It is stunning. Like, I know Sean's going to be great and Michael and team are going to be great. Everything we do, I think, is going to be Coastline and I'm sure it will be high caliber. But honestly, if we just went up there and did kind of half of what we normally do, anybody who comes is going to be blown away. Yeah, it is that incredible of a sight.
The first time we went there, like just for a site visit, I was like, oh, we're supposed to do Easter here. Dude. Like, I just knew it. I'm like, we're supposed to do it. And I didn't know if it ever happened, but it's kind of fun to have sensed that in the first time there and then actually be doing it now.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And when we have our Easter wrap up, I think we'll talk more extensively about the story of how this all came together and especially all the prep that went into it. But Michael, just on your end, you know, this is a little bit different than normal. You know, you're not just showing up and plugging in and directing a team. There are vendors and stages and electricians and stuff. And so I want to ask like how you're feeling about this whole thing. And then what are you most excited about doing Easter at Veterans Park?
Wow. How am I feeling? I'm feeling like I'm going through my checklist and just like, did I do it all? Is there still what still needs to be tied up out of all the stuff we've been working on? So I'm feeling that. Just feeling like the anxiety of, man, I want to make sure that all the ducks are in a row. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think what I'm feeling even more is just you know, I engage with Lent myself almost every week, or I'm sorry, every year. But this year, we as a community have done that. So I'm just really excited to see what that's going to, how that's going to play out on Easter. Mm. Just how we as a community have prepared for this, and then we're there doing it. And the thing that I'm most excited for Easter is that so much of our Lenten series and season has been internally focused. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of me. It's a lot of, God, what are you doing in me? How are you growing me? What are you pushing me towards? What am I surrendering? How am I repenting? Right? That's been a lot of our Lenten season. But actually what happens on Easter is so outward focused. Mm. Easter is so outward focused. And this year specifically, yeah, with us moving to Veterans Park, we're going to be in a place where people just walk by. In fact, some people sleep there. Mm-hmm. So we are literally going to be in a place where there's just people. Mm-hmm. Whereas at the school where we've been, you kind of have to find it. You have to know that it's there, right? But where we're going to be now is in the heart of the city, right next to the pier. There might be people walking on the pier for an Easter stroll. Who knows? But I just feel like we're going to have an opportunity to declare to the city around us that Jesus is King, and that all the work we've been doing all Lent long has been not for simply our own shoegazing or navel gazing, but it's been for the purpose that God would send us out into the world to tell the world about a God who raises people from the dead.
Let's go.
So I'm super stoked that our Easter season, it culminates in tell the world about God, because it's that big of a thing. So I'm stoked for that.
As you've been crafting the worship set, what's kind of been the theological, pastoral direction you're trying to go in?
Resurrection.
Oh, okay. Cool.
What?
Yeah. So we're going to start
hard,
with...
Was it hard to find worship songs that talk about resurrection?
You know what? It's not hard at all. It's actually one of my favorite things about Easter is that...
It's easy. In that sense,
what's hard about it is picking the right songs, right, the right resurrection songs that fit together well. But you know, there's a plethora of great songs for Easter. We're going to play Glorious Day because that's our theme this year. So that's going to be fun. We'll just start right there. You know, we get to run out of the grave because of what Christ has done. So, and then you'll just have to come and see the rest.
Yeah, don't spoil it, bro. Glorious Day. That's a good one. That's fun stuff. Well, I'm excited. It's going to be great. It's going to be really, really cool to be outside worshiping at the park with everybody. And I'll ask you, Pastor Sean, to kind of wrap it up. What can we be expecting from that sermon?
Ooh,
it's done. So it's you can done. Tell us. You could do it it's right now done. If you wanted.
You know what? One of my weaknesses as a Easter preacher is, Garrett could talk about this, is that sometimes I preach Easter like it's Good Friday, really heavy on the cross and light on the resurrection. So I'm aware of that weakness, and I'm trying to kind of really let it just be a true resurrection message. You could pray for me. I was reading through Colossians, and where Paul says, pray for me that I might boldly proclaim the gospel for which I'm in chains. And I was just thinking, man, Paul was always asking people to pray for his preaching. And you could pray for that I could preach the gospel and that people would hear it and that there would not be a moment that I pull back from. Sometimes you can kind of be reading the energy in the crowd, and instead of leaning in, you can pull back. I find that a lot in myself. So I could be praying that in those moments we could lean all the way in. But I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be a really good morning.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I just get this sense that, like, all of us leaning in to how we're feeling and going to Veterans Park. Like, I really truly believe that, like, this time next year, there's going to be people in our community who are, like, very involved, very excited. And it's going to be because they walked by on Easter. Like, that's just the reality. Like, that could really be the case. Someone's like, I was walking by, like, I was going to church and I went to church and then I wanted to stay at your church. And, you know, sure. I really hope that happens because I think that would just be a really big validation for Veterans Park. So I'm really excited, really looking forward to it. And Garrick, you're just going to be there, just hanging out?
Just going to be there hanging out?
Meeting people.
I'll be meeting people, friends. Greeting people, making friends.
Laying down some chairs.
You know, welcoming, laying down some chairs, driving a U-Haul truck, welcoming, you know, anybody that I can.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be really fun.
I'm super excited. Yep.
And a final a shout out to our brothers and sisters at St. Andrew's, Peter and Bob. Bob's been tremendously helpful.
Yep.
You know, they ran the service for the last couple years, and not only handing it to us, but really helping us with kind of like the playbook of, like, here's what they've done in the past, which was massively helpful to us because it was kind of short notice. And I'll just reiterate, I think what Michael said, like, I think God has big plans for us being in this park on this day. I do think there are people that are going to come, they're going to hear the gospel, they're going to find a community, they're going to probably, we're going to have new family members as a result of this. So I already got somebody texting me today. We were talking about something else and they're like, my alarm went off at 8:38. I'm praying. Yeah. I'm praying.
Let's go.
So we got people praying that, you know, new people would enter the family. So let's go do it.
Yep. Wonderful. What a good note to end on. And, you know, I'll just say this. We're at Veterans Park. We're not at Peninsula. That's the truth. My mother-in-law said, well, okay, so we'll be at Peninsula, then we'll go to, and I said, no. We're going to Veterans Park this year. And she goes, I would have gone to the school.
Yeah.
So
how many people do you think are going to show up at the school?
Stick Nikki up at Peninsula High School. Oh my gosh. In case anybody stragglers.
Could we be asking more of her right now? No.
There's a reason why Nikki's not on the podcast.
Literally.
She is so busy.
She is buried in boxes of stuff and eggs.
I'm already anticipating that conversation. Like, hey, how did you guys do a whole like Easter, like get ready podcast without Nikki? And it's Nikki is getting ready for Easter offline. She's not going to be on the podcast this week. She could not do it, but she'll be on next week. And I'm very excited for our podcast next week. All six of us sitting around the table, reflecting on Easter, reflecting on this season, reflecting on God's faithfulness. And I'm excited. This has been such a fun season. I've really enjoyed it. And it'd be nice. We'll have the podcast back on Thursdays where it belongs next week. And it's back to normal, baby. Back to normal. Well, I'm excited. Thanks, guys, for jumping on. And Sean?
See you next week.
No. I was going to ask how the fast was for Easter. Like everything good? You give up that thing for Lent? You're
really
excited?
Miss chocolate.
Chocolate. There you go. That's funny. All right. Well, I'm not going to do the catchphrase. We don't do that during Lent.
And every week thereafter.
Like, how many times do I have to tell you it's not thereafter?
Apparently one more.